Judges chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Thus ends the scriptural reading. You may be seated. Today's message is a message that I wanted to bring to the church. You had to hear of the story of the interracial couple who met at Georgetown College. It's about 6 miles north of Lexington, Kentucky. The young woman is white and 24 years old, who is from Pike County, Kentucky. The young man is black and 28, who is from Zimbabwe, Africa. The woman is now working on her master's degree in Indiana, while the man, her fiancé, is now working still in Georgetown College. When the two go to visit the girl's parents in Pike County, Kentucky, which is a rural area, they visit the church that her parents have gone to for most of their lives. It's a Free Will Baptist church. Her mother is a former Sunday school teacher. Her father is a former deacon, and at present is the church secretary. The couple did so last summer, and they participated in the service musically by her playing the piano and by his singing a hymn. After the service, the pastor, who retired after this incident and is still a member of the church, told both of them they could no longer participate in the church service or even become members. That was last June. It took until November 27th that the church voted 9-6 to outlaw all interracial couples from participating in church except for funerals. There was an interesting quote of the mother of the daughter, who is soon, next summer, going to be the mother of the daughter who had committed the abominable sin of miscegenation. Quote, "They are both Christians, and they both try to live a Christian life and serve God. There is nothing in the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that we have found that tells us that the couple should not be married. I wonder how hard they have looked." What if she learns in the future that the Bible tells her the couple should not be married? The fact that Israelites who mingled their seed in the past, it was always considered to be a sin in Israel, in the Bible. The God of the United Nations building in New York City is the God Zeus. She is following and believing the doctrine of the United Nations, the communists, the Judeo-Christians, and practically the whole world. But it is against the law of our holy God. It was against the law in the past United States, but not the present. How can holy seed be kept holy if it is mingled? First, the story as it appeared in the local news media. pastor nullifies church ban on interracial couples. Here's how the article reads. The pastor of a small Kentucky church says he has nullified a vote by parishioners that banned interracial couples from the church. And they give a quote, "As far as I am concerned, and the church is concerned, this case will be closed as of tomorrow." Gonaire Free Will Baptist Church pastor Stacy Stepp said Saturday, according to the Lexington Herald Leader, quote, "We will get back on the right track and continue to win souls for the Lord," unquote. Stepp, who said he opposed the vote, declared it null and void after approaching the Sandy Valley Conference of Free Will Baptists, which consists of 13 Pike County churches. The conference met Saturday and released a statement saying it had reviewed the situation and concluded that the vote was of no effect because, quote, was not carried out in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order, according to the Lexington Herald Leader, and would therefore require a change in the church bylaws. I didn't know you had to follow Robert's Rules of Order to the church, but that's beside the point. The Gadara Free Will Baptist Church voted 9-6 on November 27th. So that's about 2 or 3 weeks ago. To ban interracial couples from church services or functions with the exception of funerals. Stella Hargrove, 24, and her fiancé, Tishka Chakuni, 28, are the couple that prompted the church's actions. Harville is white and Chakuni is black. The couple met at Georgetown College in Kentucky, where both were students, and they planned to marry in July 2012. Harville is a graduate student in Indiana, and Chakuni is working at Georgetown College. But when the couple visits Harville's parents in Pike County, they usually go to church with her parents. They provide a picture of them both, and he is definitely black. Harville's parents, Kathy and Dean Harville, have been church members for decades. Kathy Harville has taught Sunday school at the church, and Dean Harville was the deacon there and currently the church's secretary. They consider the church's 42 congregants their family. But after a service in June where Stella Hargrave and Chakuni participated by singing and playing the piano for a hymn, the family was shocked when then-pastor Melvin Thompson approached them after the service. Quote, "There seemed to be a problem. There seemed not to be a problem. And then all of a sudden, the pastor at that time came up to Chakuni and told him he could not sing anymore," Harville said. Quote, "That floored us. We wanted to know why," unquote. The next week, Kathy and Dean Harville, that's the two parents, met with Thompson, that was the pastor, and were shocked to hear their pastor say that members of the congregation had said they would walk out if Chakuni sang again. The parents wanted to know exactly who had a problem with their future son-in-law. "Me, for one," Kathy Harville said that Thompson replied. She said he added, quote, "The best thing Stella can do is to take him back where she found him," unquote. She said the pastor would not tell any names of other people who took issue with Chakuni. Kathy Hargrove was taken aback. Now listen to this. Quote, "There's no love at all in that, and that really hurt me," she said. they are both Christians. And they both try to live a Christian life and serve God. There is nothing in the Bible, that we found that tells us the couple should not be married, unquote. Thompson could not be reached for comment. Thompson has since been replaced with a new pastor who said that everyone was welcome in the church. I guess that includes those that murdered their Savior. And the Harville family said the issue was dropped. But at a recent meeting, Thompson, who is still a member of the congregation, brought up the issue again and asked that it be discussed at a business meeting among the church's men. Grown men cried at that meeting, Kathy Harville said. The men voted to bring the issue before the church for a vote, and two voted against it. So the matter went before the congregation this past Sunday. Harville said that of 42 members, very few stayed for the meeting after church, and even fewer voted. She said most congregants wanted no part of the vote. The motion read in part, quote, "The Gulnair Free Will Baptist Church does not condone interracial marriage. Parties of such marriages will not be received as members, nor will they be used in worship services and other church functions, with the exceptions of being funerals." And, quote, "The recommendation is not intended to judge the salvation of anyone, but indicated to promote greater unity among the church body and the community we serve." Ultimately, 9 people voted for the motion and 6 voted against it, and interracial couples were banned. It hurt, Harville said. Stella knew she was going to face some challenges after she decided she would marry Tisha. But I didn't think it'd be from our family. Stella Harville and Chiquina did not respond to requests for comment. Listen to this part. Other churches in the community have condemned the decision. Randy Johnson, president of the Pike County, Pikeville Area Ministerial Association, which includes about 60 churches, said many people already have stigmas and stereotypes that they associate with Appalachia, and that this decision does not accurately represent the vast majority of the community. Quote, "This really is an anomaly. This is not in any way, shape, or form the sentiment of any other local churches or church leaders," Johnson said. Quote, "It really has saddened many people. It goes against almost everyone else's philosophy and theology of what it means to be a church," unquote. And that's the story that happened in Pikeville, Kentucky. I will give my comments on that story. This was a story that happened just a few weeks ago. A Free Will Baptist church in Pike County, Kentucky, with about 40 members, who voted after the service at a meeting called by the Men's Business Committee on November 27, 2011, voted 9-6 against interracial marriages. There were a majority of members who either didn't attend the meeting or who did not vote. The vote said that no interracial couple could participate in any church activity, such as singing, and could not be a member. This caused a complete uproar, both locally and far away. All of the about 60 churches in the local area publicly stated that they disagreed with this vote. Cincinnati's big radio station, WLW 700, which is a talk station, carried this issue and completely argued against it, with all the political correct information they could level against the church and the people who would even think in favor of this activity. This is the 21st century after all. And this is the exact position of Answers in Genesis. They say that the most preferred marriage is the marriage of two Christians, no matter what their race. White and black, black and Asian, Asian and white, etc. It's all a matter of belief, and it has nothing to do with race. The vast majority belief of this world agrees. Many interracial marriages are approved of by God according to their belief. What the press is not aware of, I should say what the local media is not aware of, is that we have a vastly more comprehensive statement on racial people in our statement of faith than this little Free Will Baptist Church in Pike County attempted to have on this issue. They dealt with only interracial couples. We deal with racial individuals as well. Briefly stated, the Fellowship of God's Covenant People will not knowingly have any member of any race as a member, except he be the covenant seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where do we get such a non-politically correct view? Are we racist? Are we haters, as we are so often accused? Do we hate the Asians, the Negroids, and Mexican-type people? No. Because even though they are not the covenant people, we are told to be separate from them, but not hate them. Do we hate the Jews and their lies and hypocrisies? Well, sure we do. The same as our Savior did. Because they are his and our enemy till the end of this age. In both testaments, one can find the words that our God spoke. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. That's both in Malachi and in Romans. They have been our enemy for almost 6,000 years. They were never a part of the covenant, and they have lied about their covenant relationship. This sermon will try and answer these arguments that are cast against us and our position, in particular on church membership being just for the Israel people mentioned in being the covenant people of the Bible. I was really shocked at the reaction this story received and the very thorough and sudden response that it received. It was overwhelming. And I knew once that happened that the church would back down and withdraw their statement, which they did 1 week after it was made. Notice I did not say church membership is limited to the Jewish people only, for that is the big deception of this age. The Holy Book for the Jews is not the Old Testament, but it's the Talmud. The Talmud is the written form of that which in the time of Jesus was called the tradition of the elders, and to which he makes frequent, very negative allusions. It appears now in the form of 14 heavy volumes. It tells how much they hate our Savior, Jesus Christ. And just like it says in the New Testament, they continually harassed and murdered Jesus Christ and millions of his followers. That's why they hate the New Testament especially. One amazing fact is that the Jews who went to Israel from Europe in 1948 and set up the new nation have no history as the people of Israel. Instead, their ancestors were converts to Judaism. So those today who say they are Jews are not of Abraham. However, the Palestinians, mostly Muslim, are of Abraham. Newt Gingrich said in a recent Republican debate that the Palestinians were a, quote, invented, unquote, people. He has to know that the Jews are more invented than the Palestinians are. So who, in your opinion, should possess the former promised land? Here are a few reasons why we are of the belief that only covenant Israelites are to be members of our church. The first reason is that people of other races or mixed race cannot be Christian. The mother of the future bride in the above article testified, quote, they are both Christian, unquote. If that is true, then they have a valid argument for full church membership, activities, and even marriage. But that is not true. What she meant was they were both Judeo-Christian Christians. For all people of any race can be a Christian according to what they believe. But anyone who was not of the covenant made and sworn to by our Father can never be a Christian. The black future groom in the story from Zimbabwe cannot then be a Christian. The second reason. The Bible is written to and only for one people. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20 reads as follows. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not done so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. These two verses teach that our God gave his statutes and judgments only to the nation of Israel. He gave them to no other nation. He has not dealt so with any nation, including Zimbabwe. Did Zimbabwe ever have the law of God as its laws? It is the law of God of Israel that interracial marriage is called an abomination. The third reason, even Schofield, the wretched individual that he was, taught in his notes that Ishmael is the father of the Arab people. That is racial, and it's true. He taught in his notes on Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, that our God told Abram that he would make of him a great nation, and whoever would bless them would be blessed, and whoever would curse him would be cursed. Schofield said that this great nation was the Jewish nation, and that anyone who curses them commits the sin of anti-Semitism. This was not in the first edition of the Schofield Bible. It was added later. What a stretch of the imagination. So let's see. This great nation of Abram was the Jewish nation. And anyone who does not bless them will be greatly cursed. Sounds to me like strong Jewish propaganda. The fourth reason. Cain murdered Abel. The Cainites, the descendants of Cain, became a force in the world. After the flood of Noah, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, were the three race-founding sons of Noah, as well as the other races that were left on the earth. To be a Semite, one must be descended from Shem. Less than 10% of the Jews are partially descended from him. The vast majority are descended from Japheth and the Kenites. God instructed Israel not to marry the Kenites, related to the Kenites by intermarriages. A reading of the books of Joshua and Judges will show that instead of driving out the Canaanite tribes, the Israelites mixed with them all and adopted their abominations. This is the reason the prophets thundered and threatened with the northern tribe, Israel kingdom, was being deported by the Assyrian in 7 centuries B.C. and lost by being strewn across the world empire in a state of divorcement. The prophets continued against the Judah Benjamin kingdom around Jerusalem until they too were deported by the Babylonians over a century later. A small remnant returned 70 years later. More about this return in the next point, point five. Jacob had 12 tribe-founding sons. Two of them started their tribes by marrying non-Semites. Judah married a Canaanite. That's found in Genesis chapter 38. He had 3 mixed-race boys. Two of the boys were murdered by our God before they had children, while one of them married a Canaanite woman and had children with her. Judah would have been wiped out of the kingdom of God if it was not for his daughter-in-law, the much misunderstood Tamar. He had 2 twin children with the heroine of Israel, and he only had a sexual relationship with her the one time that she pretended to be a prostitute. Simeon, another of Israel's tribe-founding sons, also married a Canaanite. Simeon also had mixed-breed children. Their mixed offspring and the mixed offering of other Israelites helped make up the mixed multitude that traveled with the Israelites. The Bible does not tell of anyone of the mixed seed ever being a part of the covenant, and they were forbidden from worshiping the Lord at the tabernacle and later the temple. Do you think that they would be allowed to worship in the church of Jesus Christ? And monotonous repetition, the books of Joshua and Judges record that although the Israelites were triumphant in their battles against the Canaanites, they let the abominators remain and intermarried with them. Quote, "And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods." And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and their groves. That was this morning's opening scripture. The miracle of how Phariseeism has convinced the Christian world that its adherents stem from pure Judah-Israel racial stock cannot be fathomed. Since Christians have access to the biblical record itself. In Christ's time, when the Pharisees boasted that they were children of Abraham, the Apostle John in Christ threw the boast back in their faces. Most of the Pharisees were from Edom and were never a part of the covenant that God made with Israel. Now here's a quote. Quote, since Jews were a mixed race from the beginning, the term Semites applied to them admittedly is silly. Now think for a second. Who is in favor of interracial marriages? Those that are already mixed race. Anti-Semitism actually means anti-Phariseeism. The Christian who realizes this can well understand the hatred done for Christ by modern Pharisees. Christ's view of Phariseeism and all that it stands for in terms of liquid fire are unequal by any in history. One familiar with Matthew 23, John 8, can realize that the Pharisees were justified in having such a fiery opponent crucified. For every doctrine, every aim and ethical idea he taught is the exact opposite of every principle of Pharisaic Judaism. As Christ's teaching spread, it is not strange that the Talmud sages came to decree that he deserved not one death, but five deaths, plus an eternity in hell. They incorporated this in the Talmud, which was declared complete about 500 AD in Babylon. Those five deaths are taught in every Talmud and every synagogue in the world today. Unquote. That's from the book The Plot Against Christianity, found on page 29. In the same book, found on page 51, it says that Jesus was, according to his enemy, the Jews, one, stoned, two hanged, three crucified, four burned, and five strangled, and is now in hell, never resurrected, where his punishment is boiling in hot semen. Now, I want us to look now in the book of Ezra. So if you take your Bibles and turn to chapter 9, we will look at the book of Ezra. Ezra was the priest who was in charge of the rebuilding of the temple and of the city of God after coming back from their captivity in Babylon. There were about 40,000 Judah and Benjamin and Levites that eventually returned at this time. Notice what it says that Ezra discovered and what he did afterward. Let's begin in Ezra chapter 9 in verse number 1. Now when these things were done, the princess came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. What did the princes mean when they said, quote, "The people of Israel have not separated themselves from the people of the lands"? What had the people of Israel done? Ezra chapter 9, verse 2. "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lions. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass." The holy seed has mingled themselves with the people of those lions. They have taken their daughters for themselves and their sons. Say that it was mainly the princes and rulers who sinned in this matter. It was interracial marriage that is talked about in these verses. Notice that the seed of Israel is called a holy seed. What does that mean? The word holy is a separate. Verse 2 is a place that Pastor Mark Downey talked about two sermons ago. Did you notice that it said the holy seed has mingled themselves? And that this is the name of the new matchmaking website, ChristianMingle.com. This website says they have over 5 members and growing at a great rate. Do you think that they approve and encourage interracial dating and marriages? It is owned by a Jew. Ezra chapter 9, verse 3. "And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished." The priest of God did what? When Ezra heard what had happened, it must have been something horrible. For he said that he tore his garment and his mantle and plucked the hair off his head and plucked his beard and sat down in a state of astonishment. Ezra was greatly disturbed. And what was it that was the subject of what he had heard that caused this drastic reaction? It was interracial relationships. Now read the fourth verse of Ezra chapter 9. "There were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice." Ezra sat in his astonished state with those who trembled at the word of God. It was the transgression of what God had said. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. "And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness. And having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God." Ezra waited until the evening sacrifice before he fell on his knees and began to pray to his God. Verse 6, we hear part of his prayer. "And said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. Why was he ashamed? For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Ezra was greatly troubled by this sin of interracial relationships committed by his people. Ezra continues on by saying that since the days of our fathers, Israel has been in great trespass till this day. This has led to God's chastening hand. We were led into captivity and to a spoil and to confusion of faith, which is a code word for interracial marriages. Ezra says that now God has given us a remnant to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And what have we done? We have forsaken his commandments once again. If you'll go down to the 12th verse of Ezra 9, it says, "Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that you may be strong. And eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children forever." Ezra told them to not marry interracially any longer. No longer seek their peace or their wealth. Ezra then says that God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. I think the Israel people of the year 2011 could repeat what Ezra said. Our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Since ancient Israel joined in the affinity of with the people of these abominations, God could have been angry with them till he consumed them, so there'd be no remnant left. The same is true today. That there is the covenant that God made with his people. If you will look at Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. "Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. I do not know of any pastor or person in modern day Israel that has reacted as Ezra did to Judah's and Benjamin's and Levite's sin." Most ministers of today in Judeo-Christianity would react in an entirely opposite direction. They would be astonished at Ezra's reaction. They would say to him, quote, "Ezra, what are you so upset about? It's only an interracial relationship that occurred. Don't get so upset. Our God doesn't hate these marriages. He's in favor of them." Unquote. Read the second verse of Ezra chapter 10. "And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said to Ezra, 'We have transgressed against our God and have taken,'" what's the word before wives? "Strange wives." I wonder what that word means. We've taken peculiar, goofy wives, strange. Or is it foreign wives? "Of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning their thing. Oh, there's hope in Israel. Where is that hope? One of the people of Israel who sinned in this matter explained to Ezra exactly what he had done. He had taken a racially different wife of the people of the land. That is, he had married a foreign wife. Interracial marriage. Chapter 10, verse 3. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant. Oh, the Afrikaners made a covenant. Let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. How anybody can read this and say, I find nothing in the Bible that these people cannot be married. This is also not politically correct in today's world. There was no one on WLW that stood up and said these verses. No one. For the son of Elam gave the suggestion that they would make a covenant with their God to, one, put away their foreign wives, put away their children, all the mixed breeds born to the foreign wives, according to the counsel of Ezra and to those that tremble at the commandment of our God. Let it be done according to the law of God. Ezra then made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel swear that they should do according to this word, and the people that swear. But that did not end the situation. It continued. Ezra did not eat or drink, for he mourned because of the sin. He then made a proclamation throughout Judah that all the children of the captivity should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem. And anyone who would not come within 3 days would lose all his property, and he would be separated from the congregation. That's quite a punishment for not showing up. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together in Jerusalem within 3 days. And on the 27th day of the 9th month, all the people were standing in the street, trembling because of their sin and because of the rain that they were in. Now turn to the 10th verse of Ezra chapter 10. We'll read verses 10 through 12. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, you have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange foreign wives. Then something amazing happened. Then the entire congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. Wow. There's a time in history when Israel did what was right. What an astounding few verses. Ezra first tells them that they have sinned by taking foreign wives. Would it be good if the church says, you can't marry that black man? It's not hatred against the black man. It's because we are from Adam. The covenant people of Almighty God. You are to be separate from them. You are to keep my holy laws and show the world how it works. We want to be like all the nations. You can't tell a Christian from a person of the world. Look at Christmas. What a mockery that is. Then he confesses unto the nations God and commands the sinners to separate themselves from their wives. It's because they were never lawfully married. Then the entire congregation answered in a wonderful, great affirmation. I wonder what answers in Genesis says about these verses. Many in the entire congregation put away their foreign wives and their children born to these illegally married wives. The name of each person of Israel who committed this sin and then rectified it is given at the end of Ezra chapter 10. The last verse of chapter 10 says, all these had taken strange wives. That's married foreign women. And some of them had wives by whom they had children. A massive putting away by Israel of all their foreign wives and mixed breed children in a ceremony dictated according to the Word of God. Thus was their sin corrected. Can you imagine what that took place today? Men married to foreign wives, they put them away, and all their mixed breed children put them away. There are many other reasons. I'll give you a few more. In Numbers chapter 1, verse 51, it reads, and when the tabernacle setteth forward, and the Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger who cometh near shall be put to death. The racial person who comes near the tabernacle, later the temple, should meet the ultimate punishment, death. I wonder what happens if they come to church. What did the first century church do? Did they allow anyone in their church? Anybody can come to church. Everyone's welcome. As the churches now say, isn't that what the leader of the 60 churches in all Pike County said? Everyone comes to church. We all believe this. The first century church had a very restrictive membership. They limit their membership according to what job a person had, as well as his race and what he believed. If you look at Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, it says, on that day, they read in the book of Moses, that would be Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 and 4, in the hearing of the people. So they read book of Moses, book of Deuteronomy, to all the people. And it was found written that the Ammonite and Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. What? Moabites and Ammonites cannot come in the congregation of God forever. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass when they heard the law, that they did what? Separated from Israel. All the mixed multitude. Because the law of God said so. The people of Israel read the Bible and found that there was something wrong that they were doing, that they had forgotten to obey God's law. They had to separate certain people from them. And as a result of reading God's law, and they did. Why does the church say that everyone is welcome? was the mixed multitude welcome in the tabernacle and later the temple in ancient Israel? Should they be welcome in the New Covenant Church? Ezra chapter 4. This is another eye-opening chapter in the Old Testament. It says the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the former captives of Babylon were returning to their land and were going to rebuild the city and the temple. These Samaritans, that's what they were called, the Samaritans, they were non-Israelite, offered to help build the temple with the Israelites. For they also sought the Israelites' God, so they said. The leaders of Israel answered them. What do you think they answered them? What are the church leaders in Pike County saying? Everyone come in. We want everyone. The Samaritans were from Babylonia. They acted like they worshiped their Israel's God, but they didn't. They had their own temple. We want to help rebuild the temple of God. And the leaders of Israel answered them. This is Ezra chapter 4, verse 3, if you want to read it for yourself. You have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel. Unquote. Is there anyone who thinks that the Israelites would let the non-covenant Samaritans enter their temple after it was built, when they did not let them help build it? Chapters 4 through 6 shows that this caused the work to be suspended for a while. But eventually it was finished. Judah did the right thing. Do you think that the church should let some of the descendants of the Samaritans into their churches today? Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 51 reads, we are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces. For strangers, racial foreigners, are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. You tell me what that means. And Lamentations chapter 1, verse 10. The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things. For she has seen that the heathen, that's the nations, entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command, that they should not enter into thy congregation. These two verses both teach that there is a commandment regarding that there are some people who are not allowed to enter the sanctuary of the Lord's house. They are the heathen or nations of the racial foreigners. Would these same people be allowed the sanctuary of God's house today, his church? Take, for example, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. Why? Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and lacerate you. Who are the dogs and swine that we commanded not give that which is holy? Sheep are the code words for God's covenant people, not dogs or swine, and they're not literal. Could it mean there are certain people who are not to be given the Holy Communion, the Holy Baptism, the Holy Marriage, and etc. This would mean the church is to be kept separate from certain people. Did the first century church have a missionary program for Asians? For Negroids? Or was it just for the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Was the church at Rome in the Bible, the Roman Catholic Church, universal? Or was it a much smaller church? Did the 12th century church have a missionary program that sent missionaries to other races throughout the world? No, it didn't. When did churches begin their missionary programs to other races? Most missionary efforts for other races began in the 1700s. The Battle of Blood River. The Boer people originated mainly from German Protestants, French Huguenots, and some Dutch Protestants who were persecuted for their protest against and their break with the Roman Catholic Church in Europe, and as a result fled to South Africa. When they arrived in South Africa, they chose to settle far from the civilized Cape Town and attain land in the area of the Eastern Cape bordering the savage Hoxha Nation, with whom they were forced into continuous wars, referred to as the Kaffir Wars. Listen to this. And you remember from last week's sermon. The Boer people refused to mix socially and religiously with the inhabitants and were in continuous conflict with who? The liberal missionaries from abroad. The Boers standing firm on the apartheid principle. That was the principle it used to be in the United States. That's the principle it used to be in South Africa. Separate principle. Stating that their God of the Bible, that their God of the Bible does what? Forbids his chosen people to do what? To mix with the black and foreign races. The soon to occur miraculous Battle of Blood River, December 16, 1838, should forever decide in one's mind which side our God was on. For not one Boer pioneer was even seriously wounded, and the Zulu warriors were totally destroyed, and the mighty but evil reign of the Zulu nation was soon broken. Here's one that might surprise you. John Lennon and Yoko Ono. The Beatles' mixed marriage is still influencing the world. Did you know that Lennon and Yoko were heavily involved in the occult? They hired a personal tarot card reader who advised them on all business transactions. In 1977, Yoko spent a week in South America studying magic with a 7-foot-tall Colombian witch, who was paid $60,000 to teach Yoko how to cast spells. The Lennon saw magic as both an instrument of crisis management and the ideal weapon. Ask the young girls now, is it good to be a witch? Lennon held a Hindu concept of God and life. Speaking prior to the 31st annual John Lennon tribute concert, Yoko Ono said the dead Beatles spirit is still influencing the world. The concert is held annually in Japan, Ono's birth country, on December the 8th, the anniversary of Lennon's murder. You can't overstate Lennon's importance as an artist or his influence on the culture. A memorial in New York City's Central Park celebrates Lennon's song, Imagine, which depicts a godless, communist paradise on earth. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Imagine all the people living in peace. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Where'd that come from? Imagine all the people sharing all the world. And now the chorus. You may say that I am a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And someday I hope you'll join us and the world will be as one. A large British survey found that the percentage of people who believed in God fell from 80% prior to the Beatles to 44% now in the year 2011. That's about half dropped off. In addition, I would guess that the percentage fell on a similar basis on those who said that interracial marriage was against God's law. Now my conclusion. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible teaches us of the battle between Jacob and Esau, Israelite and the Jew. One of the perpetual difficulties of the Talmudist is putting communism into power and then concealing the Talmudic origin and direction of it. The Jewish power is about to put the New World Order into place. The next great trick of Phariseeism is to bring to trial everyone who dares tell the truth about Phariseeism under the Genocide Treaty. Just like it was 2,000 years ago, they feared the Jews. What if everyone in the world decided that their position was the correct one? That interracial marriage was approved by Almighty God. And everyone in the world would marry a person from another race. All the children produced from these marriages would be mixed breeds. That is, bastards. Everyone on earth then would be a bastard. It'd be just like it was when the flood of Noah occurred. When it was only he and his family that was, quote, perfect in their generations, unquote. It's Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. There'd be no pure seed, holy seed, covenant people of Israel that remained. Israel would disappear off the face of the earth. All would be like the Jew, mixed seed bastard. Quote, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7:6. Is the Negro from Zimbabwe included in this list? Was he chosen by God? No. Why? Because it says in verse 8, quote, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It is the Israelites whom the Lord chose to be a people unto himself, the people whom he redeemed out of Egypt. May we be prepared to overcome by the word of your testimony and shine as the stars forever. One, is there salvation outside the covenant that our God made and swore to us? Two, who did God show his word to? Who did he not show his word to? Three, were the mixed race children a part of the covenant? Were they allowed to set foot in the sanctuary of the temple? Four, why did Ezra take such a drastic actions because his people mingled their holy seed? Five, what marvelous effect took place for the sin of interracial marriages to be corrected? Six, was there evil in Israel, racial, interracial marriage? Seven, was Israel commanded by God's law, separated from all mixed multitude? Eight, did Israel refuse the help from the Samaritans to rebuild the temple of God? Nine, who were commanded not to be allowed to enter the congregation of Israel? 10, warning by Jesus Christ not to give that which was holy to some people referred to as being dogs and swine. 11, the miraculous victory of the Christians' apartheid Boers over the Zulu nation in the year 1838. 12, John Lennon and Yoko Ono, mixed marriage, shows what is the intent: a godless communist paradise on earth. 13, this is from Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 27. Shall we then hearken unto you to do this a great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange or foreign wives? There are many more reasons for our position, but these should be enough to show the mother of the future bride that her daughter is wrong in marrying someone of another race. The Bible does say a lot about it. Our Father, we come to you being so thankful. And we pray, Father, we may stand strong against all the people who are your enemy. They have made Christianity a world religion. Christianity should be religion of only one people, your chosen people. The other religions belong to the other people, the other gods to the other people. We thank you for the covenant that you made with Father Abraham and confirm with Father Isaac and Father Jacob. We thank you for the fact that you showed these were not perfect people, that they were sinners. Yea, even the son of Jacob married a Canaanite. The other son of Jacob married a Canaanite. They have married a lot of Canaanites. And there were times in the time of Ezra where there was a revival, when they put away the wives and their mixed breed children. We pray, Father, this will happen again in America. That Christianity will be seen, the true Christianity is the covenant people of God, who, like the Boers, left the land, who said that they must integrate with other races. They left. And you rewarded them with a great victory. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, whose mercy endureth for generations upon generations.